Welcome back, everybody, to the Triangle Anime and Manga Review Podcast. I'm Logan, and here with me today, Ozzy, as always, and our special guest has returned, Colin. How's it going today, guys?
Pretty good.
Happy to be back.
Yeah, we're happy to have Colin today with us. It's nice to have a guest. It's nice to break up the monotony of Logan and Ozzy, because I think we get a little old just sitting here going back and forth sometimes.
Yeah. I'm here to make sure y'all talk about One Piece.
You have to interject with One Piece, and that's just unfortunate, because that was the last one you were on. I remember we had a good discussion back then, and I think that was, I grew a little bit closer to One Piece. I went from hating it to not hating it. So that's a good movement in the right direction, right?
That's a strong pendulum swing.
It's crazy what a good live-action adaptation can do for you.
So it doesn't hurt.
I'm curious what the new one of Avatar did for your appreciation of that show.
It got me from loving it to hating it.
There you go. That's all you needed. That's going to be our next special topic. We got to talk about all these crazy live-action adaptations, and then Shogun's out. There's a lot of good stuff out right now.
Oh, yeah, that's, one thing I picked up that we've been really, keeping up with, because everyone at work, that's, the show at work. You know how, every couple of years you have, the show where you go to work and people talk about it? I think Breaking Bad was one of them. I think The Sopranos was one. I think the Shogun is the one for our workplace, because, we'll get home, or we'll get to work on Wednesday, because it comes out on Tuesdays. And, people are like, did you watch the episode? Did you watch the episode? And people are like, oh, don't spoil it. I still got to watch it. So It's that one's been pretty hot for us this season.
Yeah, my wife gets a little upset because she has to read Japanese when we watch it. So she's not.
She has to read Japanese? Reads Japanese?
She reads the text.
She has to read
what they're saying. So she has to actually pay attention to the screen. That's tough.
If only there was a dubbed version of Shogun.
Oh, that would be terrible.
Apparently it's out there and it's so bad they didn't put it on Hulu.
Probably a good idea. I like the fact that they kept the Japanese. I wish they would have added the other languages. I think I may have talked to somebody about this, the Portuguese.
If they'd actually done Dutch, I think that
stuff like that.
I think it would have been a little much. Man, I don't know. It's one thing to just have two languages. It's a lot to have three or four languages going on at the same time. I don't know, but
if you guys end up talking about the new live-action Parasite show, you need to have me back on, because I love that series.
Interesting. I did not know that was out. Is that on Netflix?
Yeah, it's coming out on Netflix.
Oh, okay. It's coming out. I thought it was already out.
All right. So,
nice.
Well, we'll have a lot to talk about in the future. Right now, we do kind of need to look back at the past a little bit. So we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the passing of the legend in Akira Toriyama. Obviously, the creator of Dr. Slump, of Dragon Ball Z, most famously Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, the art for Chrono Trigger and Dragon's Quest, fantastic animator, great story guy. I think he's had an impact on all of our lives. I'll open the floor if y'all have anything you want to say about the impact he's had on what his art and what his stories have done for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of crazy because, I mean, he was young. He was 60-something, and it happened a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, because it's the end of March. It happened at the beginning. And, it's one of those things with, celebrity deaths. You don't it kind of comes out of nowhere. And to me, it was kind of a big deal off the bat, because, that's, what literally got me into anime was Dragon Ball. Basically, just Dragon Ball. And, I knew about Dr. Slump. I didn't ever read it. That might be something we need to read. But because I heard it's really funny. I heard it's kind of like his forgotten manga, but it's honestly one of his most I've heard that a lot of people prefer that one over Dragon Ball. Even though Dragon Ball was so popularized because of it, being adapted and loved and basically everywhere outside of Japan. I know that for a lot of in Hispanic cultures, especially in Mexico, it's just a religion down there to watch Dragon Ball.
Didn't they show I saw
they literally did boxing
they showed,
match
Dragon Ball Super in the streets, and people would go out and watch it, and they had to I think what was it, Shueisha had to step in and be y'all can't do this.
Yeah, it was
anymore.
A cease and desist, because they were doing almost a pay-per-view event where they would publicly show it and have these massive events in the downtown areas of Mexico cities, and people would just get together and watch it during the Tournament of Power, wherever it was, kind of a big boxing match kind of situation, especially the Jiren and Goku fight at the end. And yeah, Shueisha was like, y'all can't do this. I mean, as much as we love your passion for Dragon Ball, you know, you legally cannot do this. But
yeah, they play fast and loose with the IP down there. You know, like, you know, the food's gonna be fire if you see Goku on the wall.
Yeah, exactly. No, and like, it's such a big inspiration down there, and that's where my love came from it, because like, I adopted it here in the like living in America, but like my cousins and growing up with you know family the same age as me, watching it in Mexico, they actually had like. They were ahead of like the American dub like a couple of seasons, so they were already like watching like the Buu saga when I was barely watching the Cell saga, because obviously the manga was already out, so I was like catching up and getting manga in Spanish and stuff like that. So, but basically like that was the beginning of mine through Toonami and just adopting you know Dragon Ball Z and kind of shooting from there. Obviously Naruto was a big one after that, but then like stuff like Naruto, like the mangaka for Naruto was heavily influenced by Toriyama, so like. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't really have been into manga at all or anime. So
yeah, and I mean Toriyama was a big like role model for Oda as well. So we wouldn't have we might not have One Piece.
Yeah, there you go. You can talk about One Piece. Thanks a lot, Toriyama. You made One Piece become a thing.
One Piece. So yeah, I mean for me, I was always kind of like I never really think about the creator too much because I don't. I always think more of the art instead of the artist, I guess, if that makes any sense. But yeah, I mean, I guess Dragon Ball Z and a lot of Akira Toriyama's stuff as a whole just kind of taught me a lot of my life lessons, honestly, because I watched a lot of that stuff in my formative years. So, like, the idea of putting in effort, you know, like I think we talked about this on a different, like, a different podcast, but, like, Goku dies and literally like is working his ass off in that so he can get back to life and like go do these things. It's like the idea of never giving up, the idea of like powering through and like working out and working, you know, through your difficulties. You know, the idea is that like you kind of got to be stronger than the circumstances you find yourself in and like overcome those difficulties. It's like it's a lot to process. You don't really think about it at the time. How those stories kind of impact you. But, I mean, I think it had a lot of impact on who I am today. I mean, I could say that about a lot of anime, but, yeah, Dragon Ball Z was definitely one of the first, and I think it had a big impact on, you know, what I've developed into, for better or for worse. I don't know.
So. I mean, it's hard to escape Dragon Ball Z in the U.S., especially with, like, how often Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z played on Toonami.
Oh, yeah.
They're like fantastic series, and yeah, he's definitely gonna be missed. It's sad when you see you know these creators pass. You know, I felt the same when Kazuki Takahashi, the creator of Yu-Gi-Oh, passed a year or two ago.
Yeah,
and that was a big that was one of the series I got into. Anime with, and yeah, I mean, it's tough.
The man who brought us card games on motorcycles.
He gave us that greatness.
Yeah, it's true.
That's how I learned to drive, honestly. But yeah, no, it's obviously it's a bummer, but you know, I definitely like, I still do Dragon Ball Z things to this day. You know, I play like a gacha game that's Dragon Ball Z influenced. I still play like some of their fighting games. So like you said, it's his influence is ongoing, and I don't think like. His stories will be forgotten, so you know, I guess they'll be celebrated that way. Because I know there's still Dragon Ball Z stuff coming out. They have the Daida or something like that, the new like series that's coming out. That's kind of a weird like new look at Dragon Ball. He was very much involved with it, from what I hear, and he was involved with Super as well. He wasn't actually writing anymore. He was just involved with like I guess the clearance of certain things and the direction, but. You know, it'll be interesting to see how things get adapted from there. But obviously, like you said, we'll be missed. And, you know, I think we're all grateful for the things that he provided while he was here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True story.
Yep. But now on to the happy things, right? Because mm-hmm. we need to talk about the good things that we celebrated previously. Like I said, this, I don't know if we discussed, but we're doing kind of a special episode here where we're going to discuss the Crunchyroll Awards. So the Crunchyroll Awards actually happened around the same time. They happened a couple weeks ago. The Crunchyroll Awards happen every year since, like, I think 2021? 2017.
Yeah, they've been going for a while, yeah.
All right, so obviously run by Crunchyroll.
Consistently mediocre.
Consistently mediocre, which we will discuss, but yeah, basically... I didn't actually watch it. I know they do, like, a live thing where they have, like, you know, some celebrities go and, like, present. I think, what was her name?
Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion was, like, a presenter, right?
She was dressed up like Bucciarati from JoJo's.
Exactly, nice. Yeah. So
it was a really good
costume. It becomes, like, a thing where they stream it.
I'm actually kind of impressed. That is something I am excited. If they get more, like, celebrities that are into, like, anime, I'd be cool with that.
They had Bong Joon-ho show up. The director of Parasite.
Oh, really?
That's nice. Crazy. No.
Yeah, no.
I mean, so it's like a whole production thing, which is pretty cool. I didn't watch it, but I always check to see the awards, and it's always on Reddit because people love to talk about it, because this is kind of like the award year of the year kind of situation. It's like the Grammys, the Oscars, whatever have it, of anime, because other places do their of the years. You know, the Reddit does it. You know, every YouTuber will probably do their own thing. But I think this one is, like, the biggest one. And I know, Logan, you were mentioning the way this one works. It's almost kind of a... It's almost swayed to be kind of a popularity contest.
Yeah, I will say... I mean, I don't know what's in Japan, but this is definitely the biggest one that people are aware of in the States. And it is, to an extent, a People's Choice Awards. We actually had to look this up because we weren't 100% sure how it works, but essentially there is a judge nomination, and then the people will vote in about what they want out of the nominations, who they think deserves the award most out of the nominations. So in that way, it is sort of a People's Choice Award. Now, as we looked into it, we did find that the judges do have also a percentage of that vote. Who are these judges? I'm still not entirely sure. Colin was kind of looking it up. He did not get the most clear results.
No.
We are told that they are a panel of experts.
There's a lot of them, though. It's not just, like, a few, right?
Yeah, there's 100 or so.
Okay. So, yeah. And I read somewhere, and this was for a couple years ago, so I don't know if it's still current, but it was a 70% to 30 judge to fan vote. So that means it's more weighted with the judges, so one would think that would be more fair and concise when it comes to a kind of a popularity contest, basically, right? So even though I initially said it was a popularity contest, which I still think it is, apparently they're saying that, you know, judges make it a little bit more fair. It's supposed to be weighted so that it's a little bit, you know, spread out instead of it kind of being a runaway for a fan.
I guess that's potentially true. I have looked at different awards, like, used in different, like, activities, mostly sports, because sports is what I'm familiar with, so a little bit of a tangent. But yeah, like, I think there's different ways to do awards. They obviously give a percentage point, which has its ups and downs, because 30% of the vote is still the people. So you think to yourself, okay, that means 70% is with the judges. Well, if the judges don't vote unanimously, and the people vote unanimously, that's a bigger chunk coming from the people. Yeah, but there's no way of knowing ahead of time how that's going to play out.
Yeah.
And there's other ways to do this, like baseball has their Hall of Fame vote, and they actually give the people a vote on that. But they just get one vote. Everybody votes together, and then whatever the results are, they get, like, a single vote in the ballot compared to all these other sports writers. And that's like a drop in the bucket. So, you know, it all just kind of depends. There's a lot of different factors that go into that. And then, of course, there's just some awards like the Oscars where they don't tell you how the fuck it happens. So you just get to be upset.
It's an algorithm.
You just get to be upset about the result at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Just got to blame the committee.
Yeah. But another kind of strange thing about the anime awards is, even though they're for a year, they're kind of strangely, like, offset. So they start, I want to say, in October, and they go to September. Is that correct? September to October, something like that?
It goes from, this last one went from October 2022 to September 2023, which is also kind of weird because they call it the 2024 anime. Yeah.
So it misses, like,
Crunchyroll.
Yeah, so it makes sense that it's presented in 2024, but it's for 2023, but it misses 4 months of 2023, and it takes 3 months of 2022.
So I guess this is where we get into some of our problems with the Crunchyroll Awards. I think the Crunchyroll Awards are fun kind of in the same sense that Gaming of the Year awards are fun, but I don't necessarily know that they give you a lot of insight into what the actual best anime is, unless they're just beating you over the head with, like, this, watch this one anime that everybody else is watching. But yeah, to your point, Ozzy, I think, like, if we, again, take a look at another show, the Oscars, starts in January, ends at the end of the year, so pretty clear cut it's that year, and then they have the vote, like, 2 months in, and then they have the award show a month after that. So you get, like, a full year of coverage, and then 3 months later, they have the award show. So by comparison, this show starts in October, which is a weird enough date anyway, because anime schedules fluctuate. So you could start, your show could theoretically start before or after October. Then you've got, goes through September 2023. Then you wait like 5 months to do the vote. And then you wait another month to do the award show. So you're talking about shows that have been out of your memory for like a year or two.
Right? Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about how long you wait for the voting, because, you know, you could just wait to the end of the year and then vote, you know, in March, which would make more sense. But, you know, there is that gap, which is strange, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's worked because it's been going on for a while. I think people get the idea. I still think it's weird because, you know, you have these weird seasons because they do strictly spell out in their, you know, voting like procedure that it's for this date,
this specific date.
They have to have 6 episodes at least, blah blah blah. But then, like, you have these, like, you know, shows that go all year, and like it's hard for some people to like divide up the seasons because it's like, hey, should I look at the second half of that season as part of my vote? Well, you can't really ignore it because as a fan, you look at the whole picture. You don't say, oh, the first 6 episodes sucked, but the whole season was awesome. Which, I mean, it's rare that some shows do that. And there are some shows this year that did that, like Spy Family and Jujutsu Kaisen, because they played all year.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you have those situations. And again, because of the fan introduction, you know, I feel like people are swayed by the entire picture instead of the actual voting window.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to be talking about Jujutsu Kaisen a lot. And I think...
Oh, why is that?
Yeah, a good question. But yeah, I mean, to your point, if we're going by this arbitrary date deadline that they set up, then the only anime episodes that should be taken into consideration for Jujutsu Kaisen are episode 1 through 10 of season 2. Which causes you to completely... And
the first half, basically.
Yeah, basically the first half. So where the...
No Shibuya.
The recap up until Gojo gets sealed. And then after that, all the action after that, you're just supposed to ignore.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, just don't think about how good the rest of the season is. It doesn't count.
Like, and we'll talk about it. We can just start getting into it. Like, there's stuff to talk about in each category. But, yeah, that's basically it. I mean, we're going to go through some categories that we wanted to highlight and just kind of talk about, you know, what won, some of the nominees, maybe some snubs that we think that happened, because there are some, you know, debate in some of these categories, and then just kind of, you know, in general talk about what we think about each award, because there are some here that kind of like blur the lines or are kind of close, but, you know, it's just fun to kind of talk about and see what our opinions are about these.
I mean, I know we're not really a huge podcast. I don't expect like anybody listening from Crunchyroll to be like, oh, we should take their advice, but I mean, we do have some thoughts on it and things that could be improved. I mean, at the end of the day, like we said, this is a People's Choice Award, and no matter how much you weigh it, 30% of the vote is going to be mostly teenage males, and mostly teenage males are going to vote like for certain stuff that they like. And it's like, you know, what are you going to do?
If it's in Shonen Jump, I will vote for it.
Yeah. Before we get into the actual like voting, there was one other thing that kind of bugged me that I just wanted to talk about. Which is that there is also some vagueness in terms of voter interpretation, especially when it comes to certain categories. In particular, I picked out Best Director, Best Art Direction, Best Animation, Best Cinematography. So before we get into it, when y'all hear that, like, how do you differentiate each of those categories in your head?
Man, I have a vague idea of what makes those different, but... Yeah, I couldn't have given you a distinct definition for the differences between a director and art direction. I mean, like, it seems like there's a director has some input in that, but yeah, hard to say.
Yeah, it is hard because, like, I feel like best director, like, let's say art direction, animation, and cinematography. Like, I think animation, it's outside of the director's, like, kind of world. I mean, obviously, he's involved, but I feel like that's, like, the animation studio and what they want to do. He might be able to drive certain things, but maybe art direction and cinematography, I feel like that falls under director. So I feel like maybe those two things, if somebody won those back, like, if somebody won that, like, one anime show won those two, then the director should win that one. Like, if it makes sense, right? Because I feel like they kind of they're close. But I can kind of differentiate between each one. Honestly, cinematography is probably the one that is closest to director, because I think that's the director's job of putting it all together, right?
How would you define cinematography?
To me, cinematography is more outside of the animation, but, like, everything that builds up to the moment of, like, the episode or the show itself, of, like, you know, picking the right music, getting the right, you know, scenes and transitions, getting the right, you know, dialogue and maybe, like you know, panels. Because sometimes, you know, you take your liberties with certain panels. Like, yeah, maybe this one you're looking at Gojo from upside down. Like, what if we did it differently? Like, all those things put together, to me, that's cinematography. And I think that falls under director. So, honestly, I think if cinematography wins, then usually the director should be of the cinematography, right? But that's the way I look at cinematography. It's outside of just animation. It's outside of just art direction. It's kind of all-encompassing to me.
So, I did look up some of these things, and I'm going to do my best to go over them. I used a couple of different resources, so I'm not 100% sure if these are correct, but this is kind of like the vibe that I got from the articles that I read. So, in terms of just director for an animation studio, I mean, the core basics is they're the ones who are in charge of putting everything out the door. But really, when you think about it, they're almost more of an editor in a sense, because they're the ones that have to combine everything together and decide what needs to get cut, what can stay, how are we merging this, what needs to take priority in this particular section. So, director, not crazy. Okay, art direction. This one got a little weirder for me because this one seemed like it was more like art direction is more the vibe of the show. The art director is the person who chooses the palette. They're the person who chooses the animation styling and the background. So they don't really have as much say as in, like, the actual action going on screen. They're kind of picking what are the colors, what's the lighting, what's the tone I'm going
it's
for.
Like, what's the template that you're going to use to actually have this manga, right? Am I going to use bright colors? Am I going to use more mute colors? Am I going to use more soft colors? Stuff like that. It makes sense. I understand that.
Cinematography. So this is the person that chooses the angles for the scene. Yeah. So even if you're choosing a scene, and this is where we get into the kind of the samey between manga and anime, where it's like, if the manga's already done it, you can just choose the same angles and kind of go with it. But yeah, cinematography is typically like when you're in a fight scene and they choose a particular angle, somebody jumping up a wall, that's why the cinematographer is the one who chooses that. And then animation is kind of vague, but it's basically like the art itself. Is more think of like the heart, all the people who are actually coloring and putting everything together.
Yeah.
So I would think of that's more of the entire
how much
thing.
Effort you're putting into that, how good it gets to Sakuya, right? Like, how, like, that's like, hey, now that we have a direction, let's actually put the effort in to have the animation. So I can see the separation between those two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of see when you go through the actual definitions, you can kind of get a better idea of, like, where all the lines are drawn. Now, could I, as a layman's person, find, like, the lines in between watching this on a show? No, probably not. And I don't think the vast majority of people could.
I think even not being presented with the criteria or like the definitions of those things when you're prompted to vote definitely, you know, hurts the like validity of voting for these things and the results, because it's just like if 34 million people voted in this thing. I mean, you can vote multiple times, but whatever. How can you say, like, yeah, all of them knew what these meant?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like half the time, I mean, maybe in layman's, you just look at animation and art direction, you're like, oh, which one did I like the best when I looked at it, right? but that's not really, you have to dissect it like you're saying, Logan, and I feel like maybe some people don't. There's some people like, which one out of everything that I watched this year did I say looked the best? Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to vote for the same thing for art direction and animation. And I mean, we'll talk about which one got which, but you know, well, I don't necessarily think that's the right way to do it.
And that was another category I kind of wanted to talk about. I didn't want to make a big a deal of this because, I mean, it gets into a whole other topic. But there's also, they had an award for every different type of voice actor. So they had like Brazilian voice actor, Portuguese voice actor, Spanish, you know, all these different voice actors. And they were giving out best awards for them. And my first thought when I looked at that is like, I don't know any of these people. I don't know. I haven't listened to any of their translations. I don't know what any of this means. They didn't even provide samples of that when we were voting. So I'm like, again, going to other voting polls, like if when I vote for the MLB All-Stars, I vote for the players I want in, and then the rest of them, I just kind of like, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care, and it's exactly the same thing with that one. I'll just pick a random person, and like, who knows if they're good or not.
They didn't even have the non-like English and Japanese voice actors in the main show. They had them in the pre-show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're like, y'all aren't here to see this. It's like, oof, man.
It's just a strange choice, and I don't... Frankly, again, like maybe the judges know better. Maybe they speak every language and they know it better than I do. But I just feel like if you're a layman's person, I don't know that you're even going to think about that one. You're just going to pick, I know this show, and then you're going to vote for it, and that's going to be the winner. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Gojo and Denji winners in that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. But yeah. But, no, I think it's good to kind of go over the criteria and just a couple of things that kind of like define these things. I think sometimes when you get into the weed of things, it might be a little too specific, but I mean, it is what it is. But I think we should go ahead and start.
I mean, clearly it's got its flaws, but let's get into the different categories and talk about what we liked and what we didn't. So first off, best character design. So our nominees were Jujutsu Kaisen, Demon Slayer, Hell's Paradise, Oshinoko, and Trigun Stampede. The winner was Jujutsu Kaisen. And I don't really have a problem with that. I don't know about y'all. What were your thoughts?
It's fine. I mean, it's just another award that JJK won. But I think, you know, Trigun Stampede or Demon Slayer... I mean, Demon Slayer has consistently good, I think, character design and bringing those, realizing those into like, you know, a 3D and with, you know, some 2D animation has looked really good. And, you know, Trigun Stampede gets, you know, similar marks for that. I think both looked, I think Trigun definitely looked great.
Ozzy?
No, I, first of all, I like the nominees. I think they're all pretty good. When I look at all these, you know, I think they all kind of stand out in their own way. One thing I will say about Demon Slayer that I think the reason why Jujutsu Kaisen definitely trumped it is that, you know, I don't think Demon Slayer had a shift in their art direction, which, you know, whatever, we can bring him back to that discussion. But I think a reason why Jujutsu Kaisen is so highly, you know, voted here for character design is because if you look at Season 1 and Season 2, the art style for the characters is completely different. Mm. It's completely different styling, and I still think they knocked it out of the park in Season 2 with the kind of softer, more like kind of not as grungy look for the characters, and I think that's why that one should probably, you know, I do agree this one should have been this one just because of, I really like the design of like Gojo and what's his name?
Geto, excuse me.
In their youth age, you know, they gave them a different look. It was good to see them because obviously it was a flashback, right? So, you know, it's good to kind of have a different angle of, you know, kind of the visuals and the animation. And I really enjoyed it. So I think that's what kind of sets that apart, right? Because I think that the character designs of Demon Slayers are great. They're top tier, right? But I just think that having that change and shift in tone of character design, especially having new characters in Jujutsu Kaisen kind of helped it kind of jump a little bit more. And another one I do want to shout out, I do like Oshinoko. Like, I did like a lot of the character designs. Like, the main characters had, like, the way they stood out, the way they had their eyes, obviously the whole, like, the first half of the their mom being the idol, and just kind of how, you know, she portrayed herself and how she kind of had her own side life, and just character design wise, I did like that one. So that's another one that to me was good, and I don't disagree about Trigon. I still think that one character design, because of the refresh, helped it kind of stand out.
Right? Yeah, I'm not gonna do this with every category, but I did like. Like you said, all these nominees were very good.
Yeah.
Trigun Stampede was very creative. It was a remake of, like, an old show. They did some neat stuff with the design. Even Ozzy, you really liked the main character, the way they flipped his hair down. They kind of made him work better. The 3D animation worked pretty well with that, surprisingly. Oshinoko, like you said, I kind of liked the character framing and the different clothes and all the different things they showed up in that kind of displayed, like, how unique and all the different personalities that they kind of portrayed. Hell's Paradise was fun just because this was a new show with a lot of weird kind of outlandish characters, and it's always fun to see new strange outlandish looking kind of characters in these fighting. Demon Slayer is the one on this list that kind of bugs me because, and I guess this would be my critique of the thing as a whole, is it's like you probably shouldn't be re-nominating the same shows over and over again, because character designs don't typically change that much. Like you said, Ozzy, Jujutsu Kaisen did change because they had a time jump, and then they jumped back, and like you said, that changed the tone, that changed the art style, it introduced some new characters. So there was some stuff to like in that. But with Demon Slayer, it's like you introduced a few new characters, but then for the most part, it's like everybody else looks exactly the same.
I will say that the new characters did have cool designs, especially the villains, right? When you talk about the what's it called, what are the demons called? The different ranks.
Oh, the upper moon or
the upper moon, moons, yeah,
lower
the upper
moons.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I don't know which one's which. I forget. But the new ones that were introduced were very cool. Mm-hmm. I do like those. But I think it's like, is that really all that was introduced? I just think that, you know, even though they were cool, I just think that's, you know, there was better stuff, and honestly.
Yeah, so, I mean, I get it, but I do think this is one of those that could be improved. All right, next up, touching on our, like, a little bit of confusion and probably some frustration on our parts. So, we got the best animation, best cinematography, best director, and best art direction category. So, I'll just go ahead and say the winners real fast, and I'll come back to the nominees. So, best animation, Kimetsu no Yaiba. Best cinematography, Jujutsu Kaisen. Best director, Jujutsu Kaisen. Best art direction, Kimetsu no Yaiba. Are we sensing a theme here? Before I go into the nominees, I know y'all are pissed about Kimetsu no Yaiba winning best animation. So.
Well, I think
it deserve it.
Well, I mean, let's just go through them. I think we need to go through the nominees because I think that builds the context of why. Because I'm not saying it didn't have good animation.
Right.
I just think that when you stack it up to the nominees, I think it's the weakest one up there.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, go ahead. I mean, the nominees for the best animation, we have Chainsaw Man, we said that Kimetsu no Yaiba won, but we have Chainsaw Man, Attack on Titan Final Season, Trigun Stampede, Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2, and Mob Psycho Part 3. So, I mean, I stand by that. I still think that Kimetsu no Yaiba, as a whole, I mean, it did have its highlights. I really only think that, like, the last two episodes were the highlights.
Yeah.
I still think that's the weakest thing up there. I think Chainsaw Man was wonderful. I watched Attack on Titan. I watched all these. I think Attack on Titan was solid across the board. Trigun Stampede, it had its weird moments, but I thought that the animation was pretty solid. I can see maybe Kimetsu no Yaiba beating that one out. Jujutsu Kaisen, I just don't see how it could beat that one out. I think the animation was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then Mob Psycho, I think it's an atrocity. It didn't win anything, but I still think that that is one of the, like, top-tier animations, like, and animes in general that was kind of throughout the last couple years. And I don't think they fell off animation style-wise. So, I don't know what you guys think about it. I think this is one where I think it was just like everyone was like, oh, yeah, this is my favorite. Or I think it looked good, but
Historically has looked great. But I thought that this was probably the weakest season.
It was the weakest season. I agree, yeah.
I think this is also, and again, I wish I could talk to the judges because I don't know, but this might be one of those cases where everybody just sees the title and they think of that movie and they're like, it's just so good. How could I not vote for it? And I'm like, well, like you said, this season was pretty bland, all things considered. It wasn't, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't like, Man, I was watching, like, Jujutsu Kaisen is on there, and they were setting fucking, they were breaking my mind with how good the animation was on that one.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm trying to think of other series. Like, we also note that Heavenly Delusion should have been on there. Mm-hmm. Heck, like Gundam had, like, some really wild animation compared to what I think Kimetsu no Yaiba put out on that season. It was kind of disappointing, especially with what Chainsaw Man did. And I mean, look, I mean, I know I keep hyping up Jujutsu Kaisen. This would probably be another one that it deserved to win if we take the full season into context. But really, I keep thinking about Chainsaw Man. I'm like, I think some of those fights, and I'm like, how do you not give it to them? That's crazy.
Yeah, Chainsaw Man is definitely up there.
I don't know if I would go, and it was definitely animation that was solid. I kind of think of it more in cinematography or direction, but yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. I actually, in prep to watching this, because I knew Chainsaw Man was nominated so much, I actually watched all of the series last week, and gosh, it jumped up to be like one of my favorites of last year.
Yeah, a lot of people's favorite, and honestly, I'm surprised that one didn't win as much either, because it was so big when it came out, Chainsaw Man. It had a lot of popularity, and I think it delivered on all fronts. I know there was a small group that just didn't like the adaptation because they were so hardcore to the manga, and I think that was the biggest complaint. It's like, oh, it didn't get the tone of the manga. But I think that, you know, I think that's where the direction and maybe cinematography comes into play. We're like, hey, we want to choose different scenes, different angles for a reason, because visual, you know, animation is different than visual, like, you know, a book, panels, right? It's not absorbed the same way,
right?
And they have to build a lot of space in between. So I do think there's something to be said that Chainsaw Man didn't win any of this, honestly. So
yeah, I think that's kind of like a slap in the face, honestly, because at the end of the day,
we started off strong.
yeah
we're coming in with the hot takes.
But let's transition to the next one. So cinematography, right? We talked about this. This is kind of the choice of panels, the choice of looks. I think I read somewhere too that it's like kind of like bringing it all together with like maybe some music stuff, and that could be a little bit into director, which I did say that I think if you win cinematography, then I think director should win, and I think it is actually true, right? So cinematography ended up being best director. So I think that's fair, because for this one, Jujutsu Kaisen won cinematography and director. So for cinematography, the nominees were Jujutsu Kaisen, Demon Slayer, Attack on Titan, Heavenly Delusion, Chainsaw Man, and Vinland Saga Season 2. So as you can see, there's a lot of similarities with the nominees, which I think is fair, because, you know, the big ones are going to have the most budget, the most involvement, the best studios. You know, I think that's great there. I think one common trait that we see here, especially this season, and we haven't done this for other years, but I think it's kind of a slap in the face to that you don't include other animes. Like, I still think that some slice of life animes have the potential to be up here. I think Bocchi had a great cinematography approach because it had good choices of animations, shots, different types of animations, different stills of characters. I think it should have been up here. I think there's a lot of focus on action, a lot of focus on drama, but you forget about like these slice of life, these like romance comedies that also have very good cinematography influence. They might not have the best direction, they might not have the best overall like popularity, but there's still really good choices in how it's portrayed, right?
I think when you think of how they have those breaks from reality in Bocchi, I mean, it certainly would have qualified in one of these. I think it should have at least been a nominee.
Yeah, I think
it's like when you think about like they had that whole claymation thing, and they had that whole like thing where they broke reality and she turned into fucking Godzilla. It's like there's a lot. They do a lot in that show.
They had a scene where they went to like a bar, and then there was a whole separate like series going on with these like salary men.
Yeah, it's crazy. But no, I think my only other problem with this category is, like, it's hard for me to argue against Jujutsu Kaisen because I really liked what I saw. But I also, you got to keep in mind the dates. We're only accounting for the first half. And the problem is, whenever I think of Jujutsu Kaisen, I'm thinking of those crazy fights at the end where Sukuna shows up and starts fucking destroying everything. And now I'm like, okay, I can't separate the two in my mind. So do I really think, like, Attack on Titan, that the cinematography is not quite up to the level of Jujutsu Kaisen? I don't know, because I can't separate the two, because it's like what I really think was the top tier Jujutsu Kaisen was all the stuff that happened after the voting is not supposed to be taking into account. So yeah, I don't know. It's tough for me. But yeah, because otherwise I would also probably put Chainsaw Man in this category. Yeah. But it's tough. I don't know. I do agree, Ozzy, with your point. I think that more consideration needs to be given. Maybe limit like how many action anime you can nominate.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah. I've seen a lot of, like, one of my favorite romances of the last year was Insomniac's After School or At Night. I forget what
the title was. After Dark.
After Dark, and like a lot of like the choices of like stills and like imagery there, because a lot of it was like based off of the stars and like, you know, doing group work together to take pictures and stuff like that. Like the cinematography for that alone was pretty solid. Like I would prefer that over Attack on Titan. Not that Attack on Titan wasn't good, but just to change it up, right? I mean, and also like Attack on Titan, as good as it was, I think it was a pretty one-to-one of the manga. I watched it and I don't remember seeing anything that blew me away more than just reading the manga. I think it was a good depiction. It was well done. I felt the hype, but it wasn't anything that was like, wow, this the approach to this, the way they portrayed this, the way it looks, like, is blowing me away. You know, mm-hmm. I just think that, yeah, there should be some different portrayals of other genres.
I mean, they could certainly kick out Demon Slayer, honestly. I mean, I don't know why Demon... we've already talked about it, but I don't know that Demon Slayer should have been one of these nominees anyway. Mm-hmm. But I just struggle kind of with some of those... Yeah, It's weird to me that there's such a heavy lean in that action direction, but
yeah.
I think there needs to be more appreciation for those.
Yeah.
All right, so skipping forward, we're going into best anime song. We're getting into the music category.
Music time, yes, ooh. My favorite.
So best anime song. So our winner was Idol. I know out of Oshinoko by, I don't know how to pronounce
Yaosobi.
It. Yaosobi. Yeah. So, other nominees were Kickback, Chainsaw Man,
so good.
Seishun Complex, Bocchi the Rock, Suzume from the movie Suzume, Where Our Blue Is from Jujutsu Kaisen 2, and Work from Hell's Paradise. Which, damn, this is a stacked cast.
Yeah, I will say, the music like aspect of the grouping, like the nominations and stuff, I think they did a great job. I think a lot of this stuff on here is very good. I know that you had some suggestions, Colin, right? Like, what would you like to see in here?
I mean, there are honestly so many good tracks this year nominated, but, you know, I would have loved to see, you know, Bling Bang Born from Mashal by Creepy Nuts. I thought that had a really unique
Creepy
sound
Nuts,
to it.
Nice.
And, God, that song just blew up on TikTok.
Yeah, Creepy Nuts does a good job. I like their stuff.
Oh, their stuff is great.
Mm-hmm. Also, Kura Kura from Spy X Family by Otto. Oh, man, it was fantastic. You know, she, I think she charted last year with New Genesis from the One Piece film Red movie. And she's just a fantastic artist. Love that song. And the Innocent Arrogance from Heavenly Delusion by Bish.
Yeah,
awesome.
I love that song.
Awesome.
I love, and I think I gave the award for our like end of year stuff to their. I honestly prefer their OP and ED over anything all year. Like combo, because I think the combo wise, like they had the best two things back to back. Like I could listen to the OP and ED and watch, because that's a big thing about OP and EDs more than anything else on this list. But this is strictly song. So this is what I was talking about. Like. They do a good job here of differentiating between anime song and OP and ED. So they get a category for those three different things. I like that because I think an anime song can live differently than an OP can. And in this case, the winner was, you said, Oshinoko, Yaosobi, Idol. I personally think that's spot on because this is probably the biggest thing of the last year with, you know, the anticipation of Oshinoko. I think Yaosobi is that artist right now. With I think Creepy Nuts is up there too. A lot of their stuff comes out and people love it because I think Yaosobi also did Frieren.
Yep.
They did the first one for Gundam.
Yeah.
I think that was it recently. And those were big. And those I love. I really like their poppy kind of like because I think it's a male and a female, but they do like a the woman just has a good like she likes to use what's it called, intervals, and just, you know, kind of harmonizing amongst herself, and it's really good. I really enjoy it, and I think everyone did, because this one like chopped the charts for and it was rare for anime songs to do that. This chopped like the top 100 songs.
I mean, I can let my personal preference creep in, but honestly, that's the winner. It makes sense.
Yeah. It's a fantastic pop song.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously, there are some stuff that I prefer. I prefer Innocent Ignorance as a song, personally. Suzume is a beautiful song. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't watched the movie, but I've listened to that, and there's a lot of, like, there's some orchestral stuff in there. It's just a very nice song. So I think overall, this is great. Seishin Complex, I love that. Mm-hmm. In the context of the OP, I think that's a better OP. Song itself, so I think it's a good general nominees.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, when I was going through listening to these songs, I hadn't seen like half of this list, and listening to Kickback got me to watch Chainsaw Man because of how much I liked it.
It's very good. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, but the bass
is a trip. Yeah,
it's so like fuzzy, and it's awesome. But yeah, that just I think Idol definitely deserves it by, you know, popularity alone, and yeah, great stuff.
Next up, bringing in like the actual animation. So we got Best OP. We had, again, Kickback by Chainsaw Man, Song of the Dead, Zom 100, Idol, Oshinoko, Innocent Arrogance, Heavenly Delusion, Work from Hell's Paradise, and Jujutsu Kaisen Where Our Blue Is, which was the winner of that category. I mean, I don't really have anything to complain about. Again, I think my personal preferences creep in.
Mm-hmm. What's your preference?
I probably would have gone with Innocent Arrogance, personally, because I think that was... Mm-hmm. We talked about this. We actually did our OP discussion during that season, and that was such a good representation of both the show and such a good song, like, internally. Now, I will say, I mean, Jujutsu Kaisen's was also a... all of those things. So mm-hmm. I can't really be like, yeah, you know, this one. I think the art was a little bit better in the Jujutsu Kaisen category. I personally prefer the Innocence and Arrogance as a song. And I mean, if we really want to get into it, you know, Song of the Dead from Zom 100, probably also that second intro they made was probably better than both of them, in my opinion.
I wonder if the second intro... That was in the late window, though. Or that might have been too late.
Yeah. Because they had a production issue, so they came out even later.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, I care, since Colin pointed out, Kickback was also like a fucking wild OP, but I think a lot of that OP also depended on your knowledge of kind of like the manga, among other things.
They had a lot of like film references.
And film references, right? You had to kind of know the references. I thought it was a great OP. Mm-hmm. I thought... But
I mean, I can't disagree necessarily. I mean, I think the art was probably sharpest in Jujutsu Kaisen's OP, and maybe that gave it the edge. I think there was also a good capturing of the atmosphere of the prequel, where it's kind of like, things are so fun-loving and happy right now, and how is all that going to go to shit? Can't wait to see.
Yeah, and I think that's where, like... I think where it stands alone, not alone, but like, I guess I see why it's the winner, because it does a good job, kind of like, you know, Heavenly Delusion, which I is my preference too, but it does a good job of like setting up what the situation is of the entire story, or that first half of Jujutsu Kaisen, because it does have that dichotomy of Geto and Gojo, and that struggle of like, hey, you know, it's kind of fun and happy, we start out that way, and that's how our group started, but obviously there's turmoil, obviously we're going to end up somewhere else, and you know, I think it, that opening and the actual animation show that. So I think that's the good thing about an OP. It kind of, it doesn't just show you one snippet in time, it can kind of show you the whole progression of the story and where it's going to end up without spoiling stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And next up on the list, best ending, we got another winner, surprise surprise, it's Jujutsu Kaisen with Akari. We also had Koi Kagane with Demon Kogare for Demon Slayer. Crazy, which was the ED for Chainsaw Man, one of many, many. Happiness of the Dead with Zom 100. Color by Spy Family. And Mephisto from Oshi no Ko. So this one was a little bit tighter, mm-hmm. honestly, because I'll be honest, the only one that I really remembered, and that's a good thing to keep in my mind, is just that Chainsaw Man had so many different endings, and they all seemed really, really good. And yeah. maybe that was also what hurt them.
It was a ton of extra work to do.
Yeah.
Just putting in this thing that, you know, not everybody watches, but just putting in the effort to get all those songs and do animations for them, I think was a great addition to that series.
I liked it. I think it was it's a good way to kind of, you know, kind of lift up other artists, because it's, you know, some of those artists aren't necessarily the ones you always see. Like, yeah, oh, it's great to see Yaosobi all the time, Creepy mm-hmm. Nuts all the time, you know. But it's nice to see these other artists and these other songs, right? Because, like, Crazy was a heavier... That's the one that's, like, super heavy, super, like, hardcore. And it's, like, maybe it's got some aggressive, like, approach to it. And it's, like, it's good to see that. It's good that it's not just always a poppy jam, you know, the same stuff you always hear, you know. Mm-hmm. So I do like that they did that for... And I like that they recognized Crazy for that. So mm-hmm. that's cool.
Yeah, but as far as Demon Slayer's ending goes...
Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't remember it either.
Yeah.
I remember everything else, though.
Color from Spy Family was fine.
It's cute.
Yeah,
it was fine. I like it. Honestly, I really like that one, mm-hmm. and I'm glad they brought that one up because, you know, like I said, it's good to see other genres. I know that's kind of an action-y one, but it's the slice of life stuff. But, mm-hmm. you know, I do like that one. I like that one better than Mephisto. I don't really like the Oshinoko one. I thought the ED was pretty bland in comparison to the OP.
Yeah, I personally agree with that.
From an animation standpoint, because...
Happiness of the Dead... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying from an animation standpoint, because the song itself I like... But I think the animation of the ED is pretty lackluster. It's a lot of stills, it's a lot of floating images of the characters, which is pretty boring in my opinion when you look at Color, which is a lot of moving stuff. Mm-hmm. Happiness of the Dead, which is a ton of moving stuff.
Yeah.
Crazy, which actually I think, I don't remember that one. But
there was movement. There was a lot going on.
Jujutsu Kaisen, you know, it literally felt like another episode where a lot of moving stuff, characters, a lot of situations, you know, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, Ozzy, you tell us, Jujutsu Kaisen, you've got more of a, I guess, a pinpoint in your mind for what is a good AD. Jujutsu Kaisen, you think that's a fair assessment, or would you have put something else in there?
No, I think it's a fair assessment. I think it does a good job, again, of, like, summarizing the story that you're seeing. And I think, I think when we talked about the EDs in our yearly review, I like EDs and OPs that kind of show situations that you don't always see. Like, the in-betweens of, like, you know, of a group of people that love each other. Like, you know, obviously Geto and, you know, and Gojo, and I forget her name, but the female of that group, like, they grew up together, you know, fighting and being, you know, sorcerers. And you see these, like, little interactions where they might go to the, you know, the shop, you know, they might go eat together, stuff like that. I like seeing that. I think the OP Zom 100 does that, where it shows kind of like the activities they do in between mm-hmm. the show episodes and highlights all the stuff that kind of builds the narrative. And I like those. So I think Jujutsu Kaisen's ED did a good job of that. You get the extra stuff.
Fair enough. So. All right, next up, Best Slice of Life. So I don't necessarily disagree with this one, but this was the sole winner for Bocchi of the Rock.
Yeah,
I
got one.
Other yeah, our anime of the year last year. Our other...
Really?
Other, wow. Absolutely. It's knock out of the park.
Nice. Other nominees. Love Story level 999. Don't even remember that one. Do It Yourself, which I think was probably, Ozzy, your favorite slice of life?
That was my favorite slice of life, only because... I don't think Bocchi
is technically a slice of life.
No, I think it is a slice of life, but I think it transcends a little bit outside of the slice of life.
They don't really have like a music series genre
and if they did, it would be so limited that it's like that and like maybe two others. And
yeah, they had that shamisen show that we'd stopped watching.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I remember that one.
And Oshinoko probably would have won
if there was Oshinoko, a music. And music, really? Because they had like one, two episodes of music and the rest of it was a drama.
But ridiculous. Other three were Skip and Loafer, Insomniacs at School, and Horimiya's Missing Pizzas. So all
missing pizzas?
Missing pizzas.
Better find those.
Yeah.
I need the pizzas.
I'm hungry. but, Ozzy, this is basically a best of list for all the shows you like to watch.
No, I love Slice of Life. It's like my low-key casual shit that, like, you know, because I love a good shonen, but it's always good when you can show the daily kind of normal stuff in an anime, right? Because it's like, you know, why do you want to see that? People ask. Well, it's like, it's just nice because, like, you know, I can relate to that more than beating up a demon, right? But to me, like, the music of Bocchi the Rock is what really elevated it for the slice of life aspect. I guess it's why it won. I mean, I didn't watch Love Story. I didn't watch Horimiya Missing Pieces. But from what I understand with Horimiya, those are side stories. So to me, like, I don't think that can it come close to even Bocchi the Rock. But if I had to pick another one, Skip and Loafer was a wonderful slice of life that was actually slice of life. You know, the interactions between people is the biggest thing when it comes to slice of life to me. The situations that you see in every day-to-day and how you react to, you know, awkward situations or special situations and how people react honestly, right? Because sometimes, you know, dramas can up the ante. And I think this is why Bocchi kind of transcends slice of the life, because it was so dramatic at times the way that Bocchi reacted. Like, I'm not going to react like that. I don't think most introverts react like that. But, I mean, it's still partially slice of life because of the music and interactions between people. But
yeah, speaking on Skip and Loafer, I started watching that on your recommendation, and yeah, it's really good.
It's really good,
it's
right?
It's so sweet. Yeah.
It's wholesome. Yeah. It's beautiful. Like, I love the interaction. I think that was one of the best portrayal of human interactions in the last, like, 2 or 3 years. I really like the characters because it did a myriad of characters. It wasn't just three people. It was like, you know, it brought in, like, the popular girl. It brought in the awkward girl. And it didn't make it out like, oh, yeah, the awkward girl obviously hates the popular girl for no good reason. They had their discussions, and they kind of made amends. That was just one episode that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I know. And there's a bunch of great characters. I love, like, the leader of, like, the drama club.
Yeah. He's always, like, going after that one dude. Like, hey, you know what? You want to join our drama club. But I'm glad you're watching it. It's a really good slice of life. I would have picked that as slice of life alone. Do It Yourself was another good one.
You loved it. I love
Do It Yourself.
I need to watch that.
I think that one, when it comes to, I think
that one was another one that should have had an OP in the fucking.
The OP was so good.
Oh my god.
I don't know. I love slice of life. I think this is good. Good nominees. I would watch all these. I mean, besides the two that I didn't watch, which I've heard are good, but I'm glad that Bocchi the Rock won that one. Even though I don't agree with
it won something. Yeah. So that's what you care about. Next up, best comedy. So we had Spy X Family, Buddy Daddies, Bocchi the Rock, Mashla, Zom 100, and Urusei Yatsura. So I can't disagree with Spy Family winning this. It was a pretty funny show at certain points, and I think more so it's a show that speaks to everybody, so I think it draws in the voting audience, and they kind of think it's funny. So I kind of like that atmosphere of it. I still feel like Bocchi the Rock got robbed, and probably Zom 100 too. Zom 100 had its own problems, but I feel like Zom 100 also kind of got robbed in this category. Yeah, but
comedy is so subjective. It's really hard to say. I mean, I would have loved Bocchi the Rock to win this too. That would be kind of ironic if it won two different genre categories. But yeah, I mean, I can't disagree that with Spy Family winning. We didn't mention it earlier, but Buddy Daddies won Best Original
Anime, yes.
And I mean, that is also a fantastic series.
I've heard it's really good. I almost want to watch it just because it's original and because it's good. I do think that the original animes were kind of lacking this year because I wanted to look back at, like, all the originals because I love originals. Because some of the best anime from the year priors were original animes. Mm-hmm. And I didn't watch Buddy Daddies because I think my initial reaction was I just watched Spy Family. I'm kind of burnt out from Spy Family. And it looks again, kind of like a Spy Family knockoff, but I heard it's not. And
I found it to be a lot more wholesome than Spy Family, which is hard because that's a pretty feel-good show.
I will say from watching it, it did feel like it took a lot from a bunch of different shows. But it was a very wholesome and a very cute show. It just felt like it was like an amalgam of a couple of different shows I've watched in the past. But nothing wrong with that.
Now, Colin, what's your opinion on the Mashla one? Because that's something that we read the manga. We know it was a comedy based. I think you said you watched it, right? Like,
I it's on my list. I haven't watched any of it yet. But like I said, it's got a great OP. But
he loves the OP.
Haven't watched it yet.
Okay, so you haven't watched it. I thought because you watched the OP, it might have been something you watched. I will say, I'm glad Urusei Yatsura, again, another thing that, like, they did kind of expand on maybe the norm.
Speaking of another OP, God, there's so many OPs.
OP from the original season was really good, but Urusei Yatsura is very funny. I mean, it is a remaking of the original. There's a lot. It's basically a comedy like gag anime, and I'm glad it got nominated. Zom 100, I think, was pretty funny, but I can definitely see why I didn't win there. But I'm with you, Colin. Like, I honestly think I have not laughed harder than watching Bocchi the Rock.
Yeah.
Like, I have not laughed. There was one moment. I still remember the episode. I think it was the one where she is the claymation, like, Godzilla.
Yeah.
Movie, and she, like, it's like they're crucifying her or something like that.
No, it's the one where she's like, it's like sports day. She's
So I was watching it in bed. I think it was during Christmas or Thanksgiving at my in-laws, and it was at night. Like, we were in bed. My wife was asleep. I was watching it, just kind of laying down, and I just woke her up because I could not contain it. I was busting out laughing. I'm like, this is what makes this so good. Like, the comedy, the transitions. Like, I just don't see how. I mean, I think this is a rob, absolutely rob. Don't. But I think that you're right, Logan. That Spy Family is easily approachable, easily consumable. Like, whenever you look at Bocchi, it's like, oh, it's a girl musical rock band thing. I'm like, I'd rather watch Spy Family where there's action and a cute girl and spies and, like,
There's assassins and spies and action and comedy. Yeah, it's like,
I could see people going into it being like, oh, how's this different than, like, K-On? But it's very
It's completely different. I've watched K-On, and I just was not as into it. Like, K-On! Was good. I don't think the depiction of music is as good. I think the depiction of music in Bocchi the Rock is wonderful.
Yes.
And I think the depiction of the characters themselves and their interactions is much more intriguing and funny to me in Bocchi.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
So a few more, just going to burn through a few more category nominees. So we had, I think the only one that I really want to talk about is Best Fantasy, because Best Action Anime, it was Jujutsu Kaisen, which is fine.
Yeah, we can't really talk much about that.
I mean, you could make an argument for Bleach or Chainsaw Man, but it was JJK. Best Drama Anime, I don't really agree that Attack on Titan, the final season, was, just because the last four episodes were all action. But
and I feel like this is a category they could have given to Heavenly Delusion or Vinland Saga.
Vinland Saga is just,
I think it's an absolute robbery if you don't give it to Vinland Saga. As a drama as a whole, like, Heavenly Delusion, I think, was a good mix of action and drama.
Mm-hmm.
Attack on Titan, same thing. But Vinland Saga is basically a drama. I think this is the best depiction of a drama across the board, and just highlighting, you know, that you don't need action to carry it. And this was perfect in carrying. I've never been so impressed by something that doesn't have action. For so little action. It had action, but it emphasized on the drama between characters, and I think that's a flat-out winner.
Especially the end of the season. My only thought would be, like, that this is kind of one of those where the Oscars do this sometimes, where it's like, oh, this whatever came to an end, or this guy is retiring, we got to give him an award. And that might be why they gave it to Attack on Titan.
Yeah, I can see that.
Is because they were like, oh, okay, this is the last chance it's going to win something. We'll give it this. And it's like, it might be the case, but also you're wrong, because it should have been Vinland Saga.
It's very much like, it's like, oh, this guy retired, or this guy died, and we're going to, like, posthumously.
I think there was a whole thing where, like, Martin Scorsese got robbed of a couple of Oscars. There's been, like, I don't know. But yeah, point being,
This is one of the most criminal ones, honestly.
Yeah, I know. This one tears you up inside.
And the next one.
I also just don't understand Best Fantasy. Okay, let's look at our other options. Ranking of Kings, Season 2. Fucking Crazy Fantasy. Love that one.
Yeah.
Ancient Magus Bride. That's a great depiction. Mushoku Tensei. Well, that's the great isekai of our time. Hell's Paradise. Mashla, which is just Harry Potter but with muscles, and then we have Demon Slayer, and Demon Slayer's the winner. What happens?
I just don't understand. Like,
they're not even in a fantasy world. There's like, they're in the real world.
Well, there's demons.
No, there's demons
are a fantastical element.
But that's the extent. It's demons and then the techniques that they have.
Like the
but
sword arts,
honestly, it's like everyone's human. Everyone else just has the ability to use their sword arts. And then you have demons. And that's it of the fantasy world, right? To me, like, Ranking of Kings as a fantasy is much more, a little bit deeper. And Mushoku Tensei is tons deeper to me.
Yeah, it's like, what is best fantasy mean? And this is like, are you saying like, oh, this is the best fantasy world? Or are you just like judging it like, oh, this was the best anime that was a fantasy?
Well, first off, Colin, I have to address, you're a Catholic and you don't think there's demons out there? What is wrong with you?
I have seen what my stomach does after Taco Bell. There is a demon inside me. I know that demons are real.
But, no, I mean, I just look at that and I'm kind of like, I don't understand how it got nominated with all those other options out there. Like, even, it doesn't make sense. Like, you could argue Hell's Paradise, I guess, is kind of the same story because it's like, okay, they're in Japan, but they go to an island that doesn't exist, whatever. Okay, but I look at that and I'm like, it's such, this, I go back to a quote. Ozzy, you probably get this. Georgia Tech beat Miami this year because they decided not to take a knee. And there's a quote that I keep seeing, that I kept seeing online, that was like, how do we lose to this Georgia Tech team? I think the exact same thing here, which is like, how do you lose to this season of Demon Slayer? It doesn't make sense. This season was not good, and I don't know why people seem to think that it was. I don't understand. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm also not a teenage boy, so what do I know?
But, I mean, there's still judges, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go forward with the knowledge that it's probably not going to win next year because there's just so many good fantasy series.
Oh, my God. If it wins next year, I am literally going to go to Crunchyroll myself and find one way to defecate on somebody's desk. At least one person's desk, because you have so many. I mean, Frieren alone is already going to win half the award.
Frieren should win
everything. But, like, Dungeon Meshi should easily win best fantasy, because I think that one is up there with Frieren itself.
Problem is, Frieren is a fantasy, so it's
But, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's just which one's the most popular, which one's the most absorbed, which, I mean, I think Demon Slayer is out of all these, but I still think it's the weakest one. But
It also wouldn't piss me off as much if Demon Slayer hadn't already won, like, every award last year, and now I'm just like, oh, okay. So we're just voting for Demon Slayer for everything. I see how it is. I mean, we go through that. Definitely had some that we were very upset about. Definitely had some that we were kind of cool with. I mean, what do y'all think as far as ways we could improve these award shows? Like, do you have any thoughts about ways that they could make it better? If they, assuming that they even listened to this point in the podcast, which is a big assumption. But, I mean, first off, obviously, I would change the date structure because that fucking drives me up a wall. I don't know who came up with this idea.
Yeah, the gap too is another thing you mentioned. Like, hey, even if the structure of the voting period is the same, like, then have the awards at the end of the year.
At the end of the year,
why wait 5 months when people have absorbed more anime and kind of forgotten about it on the end when you could just do it right away? Like, why wait? It doesn't make any sense.
Like, we're still hyping up Boshi the Rock. It was our favorite. Came out a year and a half ago.
Yeah, it's so long.
Jeez.
I was surprised when I saw it on the list. I was like, oh, this is when it's up for an award? Okay. I mean, yeah, it's a great series.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. But, yeah, I think that would be probably my biggest one, would just be to fix the dates. I think another thing would be, and Colin, you pointed this out, it'd be really great if when you're actually voting for the awards, they give you, like, an example of whatever it is you're voting for.
Yeah, I was shocked to hear that they didn't really give you any information. Because, Ozzy, you said that you voted for some of these, and it was just, there's a picture of the, like, series or the character that you were voting on, and no other information. Like, if they didn't even, if they had even, like, you know, embedded YouTube video for some of, like, the song.
Yeah. Well, especially for the music ones where it's just, like, you kind of need to hear the music but if you're going to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least for the music stuff, they put down the entire, like, they have references of who it is and what it is so you can go find it. But, like, for the ones, like, cinematography, like, what part of it do you, like, describe it a little bit, show an example of it, like, show past winners and say, hey, this won because of these scenes or because of how it was portrayed here.
Yeah, or, like, at least do what the Oscars do and be like, here's a clip of this guy acting. Like, I could use, like, a 5-second clip of whatever's happening on screen. That would be great.
So, yeah. I think that's a good way, like, giving some examples, maybe, like, showing, like, specific details of why certain nominees have won in the past. maybe certain reasons why certain episodes won or certain series won, and maybe episodes that were highlighted in that, you know, in that decision. I think one thing I did highlight is just the variety, just like adding in, you know, other genres into the big categories. Like, oh, you know, the best director. Oh, it's going to be a bunch of Shonen Jump animes. It's going to be a bunch of action animes. But why not some comedies? Why not some, you know, some romances? You know, why not slice of life? Like, I've seen, I mean, my best anime was a slice of life slash comedy. Like, why isn't that being portrayed in some of the other stuff, right? So I think just kind of adding variety, because they do it sometimes, but then I think the big ones that people really love, they don't, right?
Well, and I mean, I get it. For some of the bigger, the really big awards, it makes sense, because, like, they're going to vote for the ones that everybody saw. But to your point, it would be nice to at least give them some recognition.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but anyway, I think... Any other thoughts? Because I think those would be the two main things I guess I would improve. Because I can't go to every teenage boy and shake him and be like, your taste is fucking wrong.
You're a terrible taste.
You
like
suck.
Better things.
Yeah.
Not better things.
Stop watching Demon Slayer. It sucks.
Demon Slayer sucks. They're literally doing the same shit. All right. Anyway. Okay. Cool. Anyway. That's the anime portion of our podcast. Now we get on to our manga, so which we actually read one this week. Speaking of teenage boys, one that I read back in my teenage years, Iris Zero. Oh, okay. So I guess, Ozzy, I don't know, Colin, did you read this one?
I did read it.
Okay, yeah, well, nice. Whoever wants to go first, take it.
Go ahead, Colin, let us know your opinion of Iris Zero.
Okay, well... I had not ever read this series before, or even heard of it. You know, looking up a little bit about it, I guess it's an ongoing series. I guess there's been some health issues with the, between the artist and the writer, so it's kind of on a different hiatus. But I see people, like, I was looking up, like, the buzz around this series, and it seems like there's definitely a following of it. It's
it actually recently came back. It was I think it was the author's mental health was had, and she finally kind of got better at it. But yeah,
oh, okay, gotcha.
So anyway, but yeah, sorry, finish it.
Yeah, part. But the concept of the for the series is that you know, a couple decades ago, people started developing superpowers around vision, around sight, and not everybody has them, but when it started out, but now pretty much everybody has,
so like 99% basically.
Yeah, except for our main character. He's one of the few who doesn't, and he's an Iris Zero, which I was like, okay, a bit of a interesting take.
The nose.
A finishing take to be like, I've invented a slur and I'm naming my series that.
Which is kind of funny, because at first you're like, oh, this is kind of a cool name. Like, I feel like the number zero makes anything cool. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, zero, you know, zero Mega Man. Cool, cool guy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Iris Zero, this is cool. No, this is a derogatory term. Like, yeah. you are a scum.
People call him that all the time, and not a nice way.
No, you're right.
But it's he gets befriended by a classmate who I guess is extremely popular and sees like potential in him. Her ability is to
she originally seeks him out because she's trying to do something. She's trying to find somebody, but her iris for whatever reason is not working the way she wants it to. So she's like, I heard you're a guy that can find things. And she goes to him, and he's supposed to be helping her. He wants no part of it. Story goes on.
Yeah. It was very different from what I thought it was going in. When I heard that, like, oh, this is a universe where like everybody has superpowers. I was like, this is gonna be like My Hero, and
yeah.
It's not anything like that. It's like more like a slice of life, and you know, I wasn't sure what to think about Toru, the main character.
It's kind of an asshole.
But you see that he's got he's on guard because of the extreme bullying.
He has a right to be, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I thought that this was a cool series. There's, you know, since he doesn't have an iris, he kind of relies on his intuition and deduction to get through situations and to avoid being bullied. And his like motto is what is it?
Low exposure.
Yeah. Like minimum exposure.
Minimum exposure.
And so he gets in situations where he's like, all right, how do I figure out how I get the least amount of attention? I have to solve this mystery so that my classmate isn't freaking out. So I enjoyed that aspect of it.
Yeah. I guess, Ozzy, you want to go with or?
No, I think you make a good point that, you know, you detailed it pretty well that, you know, it's basically the kind of, in the story around Toru, who, you know, is the kind of like the loner, because I don't know if I read far enough to maybe see if they had another Ira Zero, really. And because I'm sure there are other people that are like that. He can't be the only one. But it kind of reminds me of one hero, My Hero. I had the same thought. I was like, oh, is it going to be kind of the same approach where it's like, this guy has it. Does he get it at some point? But I like that, you know, they're kind of pushing that it's like, you know, he uses his own smarts, kind of like you said.
Yeah.
He kind of uses his own intellect and, you know, and I like also that they emphasize and focus on the fact that sometimes having an Iris power isn't good. Like, they talked about this one character who has the ability to see lies. And sometimes that's stressful to the person because it's like, it makes you be judgmental of people. Because sometimes lies are, it could be a structure of something you say to, you know, to be nice, to avoid confrontation. And not, like, you know, white lies. Kind of like, oh, you know, you look nice today. They could look like shit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you see that lie every time, that can be stressful to you. That can make you be conceited, or that can make you feel resentful towards people. And they do a good job of focusing on the negative side of powers, because it's not always pretty. It's not always, oh, you have a power, you're perfect, you're better than everyone. And I like that. I like that chapter where they had that one character who actually, she was kind of important to the story because she was the one that ousted Toru, because I think Toru started out kind of lying to people, saying, oh, I have a power, to not feel, you know, out as an outcast. But she, based on her power, being able to tell when people lie, was like, oh, you don't. And I think, you know, that was a big kind of upbringing in his resentfulness to her. Like you said, he has his reasons. You know, I would honestly feel, you know, pretty jaded and pretty resentful towards everyone if I was discriminated to all the time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I actually really enjoyed it. I think the wholesomeness of, like, some of the interactions and, like, you know, kind of whenever they come to terms with, you know, things being okay, kind of like the Toru, you know, being okay with that woman who ousted him, and he ended up helping her in one point. I thought that was a really good chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So that interaction was really nice. I like the main character, Koyuki. You know, she kind of sees the best in everybody. She kind of wants to, you know, bring people along. I think there's kind of a romance possibility between her and Toru, and I think they're trying to push that. And, you know, so far it's, you know, it's definitely kind of like, oh, she's the instigating one because he's, like, on guard, like you said. And, you know, to me, sometimes that gets a little old.
Yeah, she's also the one that wants to help people, and he's kind of like, I don't really want to get involved.
Yeah, and I think maybe that becomes the gimmick. I don't know if he kind of softens at some point and becomes better. I can understand why not, but, you know, sometimes it gets a little old when it's constant, like, oh, I don't want to do that. And it's just like, oh, well, like, another half of the chapter is her just trying to get him to finally help. You know, it becomes kind of formulaic at that point. But I still really enjoyed it for what it is. I think it's a very interesting story because I don't really remember stories kind of being that way, of kind of having some, you know, person who's kind of like constantly discriminated towards and being that person the center of attention. Because usually, like in My Hero, that person gets something to help them stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And to my knowledge so far, it's like, no, it's just him. And yeah. I like that it's just kind of the slice of life of him kind of going through, dealing with that, having friends that look over that and say, I don't care, you know, because it's, you know, that's reality, you know. People are going to have disabilities or might not have the same thing as everyone else, but some people don't care and we shouldn't, right? So,
yeah, I think this was another one that I got into when I was younger, and I liked a lot because I think, like we talked about, the person who wrote this has dealt with depression. I think this manga, low-key, has some very good depictions of what mental illness looks like outside the surface, where you can tell, like, okay, this person's dealing with anxiety, this person's dealing with depression, this person's dealing with you know, these things. And it's like, none of these characters, like, and all of those people that I'm describing are not the main character, despite all the things that the main character's gone through, which is kind of weird to think about. But yeah, I was kind of amused by how adult the theming was in this series, especially as you go on. I mean, I don't want to spoil it if y'all decide to keep reading, but there's some very interesting, yeah.
It gets really dark.
It gets very
in some
dark.
Characterization. And yeah. It, sometimes in a way that I took me by, like, complete surprise. It, like, hit me out of nowhere. Like, oh, wow, this character's got a very dark backstory.
I mean, and that's good that we get those, because sometimes reality is, you know, kids and, adolescents go through that. But that there are times to me where that, like, I prefer those stories in a more adult situation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I like certain stories where they're college-based or maybe, you know, young adult-based, because you see more of that and more of the discussion of that and the better absorption of that, especially as an adult, right? Like, I don't think these kids can have these discussions and be so ground in their, I guess, their, you know, their morals at that age. I feel like they're still forming, you know, their ideas, still forming, yeah, you know, certain things. And, like, I think this is definitely, like, the mangaka or, like, you know, his interactions speaking through the art, but I think maybe it can be portrayed in a more adult situation.
I do agree. I think a lot of it, they try to push on the idea that the main character had to grow up very quickly, given the circumstances that he found himself in. But I will say that is one of my big pings with this, is, like, the way they act is, like, oh, these people are at least in their 20s, the way they're acting about this stuff, not slightly older. Because, I mean, it feels like they've been through the ringer on this
stuff. I'm not trying to downplay what kids see, because kids, I mean, especially nowadays, you know, kids see a lot of things, you know. Yeah. And there's a lot more ways to absorb media. There's a lot more to absorb society in its whole. And, you know, I'm not downplaying that, but you don't really understand it and absorb it well in the whole scheme of things until you're older. Like, yeah, you might experience it, but I don't think you're able to put it into words as well when you're that young.
Yeah. Mm. But I will say, I mean, getting back to the core of the story, I liked how they kind of turned it into a detective story where it's not like, it's a slice of life, but it's also always like, what are we finding this time? What are we fixing this time? How does he sort through and kind of unpuzzle this puzzle? And a lot of the times it's kind of silly, and then sometimes it's actually kind of like cool that he thinks through. But yeah. So, I really liked it. I mean, I'm hoping that the mangaka, now that she's feeling healthier, will get back to creating more stories. Because obviously this one cut out in, I think, the late 40 chapter area.
Interesting. Because it's been going on since 2009. So it's almost 15 years that it's ongoing.
Yeah, and unfortunately it just hasn't gotten a lot, because I assume the mangaka's... I haven't, you know, kept up with all that, but I assume because the mangaka's been dealing with her own mental health issues. But, you know, I hope that we get this back on track, because I would like to see where the story goes as time goes on. Yeah. All right.
Good suggestion.
Are y'all going to keep reading this?
I mean, I've already read it all the way.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I mean...
I mean, if it's only 40 chapters, possibly, yeah. I'm really bad about reading stuff. To sit down and, like, read stuff, it takes a bit. There's a couple of the things that I need to, like, continue reading, but I did like it. It grew on me, I will say that, because the first two chapters, I wasn't sure what they were going for. Were they going for, like, a dark and moody kind of, like, manga, or were they going for, like, a wholesome thing? And I got where they were going after, like, you know, 10 chapters or so.
No, I mean, I liked it. I mean, I am inclined to see where this goes, and I'll add it to my pile of slices of life that I like to keep up with.
Nice.
All right, and as for our manga for next time... I picked an isekai, just to piss Ozzy off. So we have Killer Shark in Another World.
I mean, I like the craziness, I guess.
A story about a little summoner girl that accidentally summons a shark from another world as her pet that has all the power seen in shark movies in the modern world. Just so you know...
Can he breathe out of water?
Think of all the shark movies you've seen. Because I know you've seen the Meg. Think of what other shark movies are out there.
Sharknado.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
What other shark movies are out there?
Jaws.
Big one. Yeah, but okay, but...
I don't think Jaws has that.
Let's talk about let's talk about the outlandish ones. Have you heard of Sharktopus?
No.
I've heard of it. Definitely heard of it.
It doesn't matter. They all are in the water. How is this thing living outside the water?
You'll see. It's fucking... this one... So this was definitely a gag manga.
I mean, I still prefer this over a vending machine.
This was a gag manga that got really popular, and you'll just have to see where it goes. Wow. So to all our listeners, feel free to check that one out. Ozzy, I'm sure you're looking forward to this one.
Yes. Waste my time.
Why do you torture Ozzy like this?
It's a constant theme here.
I had to find one on short notice. Well, I mean, if you want, we could do The World God Only Knows, but I don't know. Did we already read that one?
That sounds familiar.
I think we read that
one. I think we might have.
Yeah, so sorry. This is the option. This or another isekai. Take your pick.
There's a plethora.
There's so many.
That's the problem.
A cornucopia. All right. Well, to our listeners out there, thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show. If you got any questions or comments, shoot us an email at brawleyanime@gmail.com. And thanks as always. Colin, do you want to plug your book?
You have a book?
No. Why are you doing this to me, Logan?
Is it as long as one piece?
End the podcast.
End the podcast.
Shut it off.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Bye. Bye.